T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I would call a crib, same number, same hood. It's all good. And if you don't know, now you know.
You know very well who you are.
Valid question from the text line 913-586-7610. Does Carlos Santana just walk up to the plate and slime himself?
Yes.
Absolutely.
That's a valid question. I don't know.
And he also slaps himself in the head with a frying pan.
There would be a shortage on slime, and those prices would continue to rise even more. Someone else does ask, what's this frying pan sport called? It does
called
not have a
frying
name.
Frying pan slappy.
Does not have a name.
Frying pan slappy.
Slap chop. I don't know.
Just Rex Chapman tweeted that. He stole the video from somebody else, I'm sure. But his Twitter account had it. I think I may have retweeted it. Did you retweet it?
I did not.
You did not retweet it? I'm surprised. That was right up your alley.
I know. I watched it a bunch, though.
I'll retweet it right now so you can find the...
Yeah, I can retweet the one that I was looking at, too. There was somebody else posted Rex's video that I looked at, but
I'll just retweet it right now if you're looking for it. Two idiots sitting on a bench slapping each other with a frying pan.
It's terrific.
So good.
It's really good. It's very entertaining.
I'd watch it.
That or the Reds?
Oh, I'm in slapping frying pans.
That, no, Bob, we'll put Bob to the test.
Okay.
Oh,
Bob,
yeah, we'll.
This fry pan slapping or Mets Marlins game 2 of their 3-game set?
Because the Mets Marlins game on?
You watched game 1.
What time is the Mets Marlins game on?
I don't know. Opposite this.
Opposite that?
Yes.
I would watch the slap thing for a little bit and then flip back over to baseball. Because how much of that, again, 30 minutes is about all you can really watch.
No,
that's
why,
enough.
That's why I said, you know, 3 bouts. You have a semifinal and a final. That's it.
Time to the Mets and Marlins.
Someone say, what would these players sound like in the... I don't want to talk to them. I don't think you would want to talk to them.
No. You just... keep slapping each other upside the head.
I mean, what kind of good cliches can these guys give, right?
Oh.
Good Lord willing.
Good Lord
willing.
One
slap at a time.
Took that frying pan to the head, and good Lord willing, I'm going to survive it.
My Lord and Savior got me through this. I didn't drop dead from getting getting slapped with a pan.
I gave it 110% out there.
Got to credit my teammates.
Yeah,
sir, it's an individual sport. There's somebody trained me for this.
Thank my sponsors.
Yeah. I mean, the post game would be really good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Listen, time's yours. We say thanks. Whack. That's how Andy could ref this thing. Start it up. All right, listen. Time's yours. Yes. And then they start whacking each
other. Someone else
wants
to know, will Arkansas or Ole Miss be the favorites for this?
You
I don't know.
You know it's a sport.
Those are the shot leaders at the College World Series still. So.
What's the latest update on the shots at the College World Series? Ole Miss is still hanging though, right?
Arkansas by like 50 shots right now. It's down to 50 shots.
All right. Arkansas is leading by 50.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. They open at
that's
this hour.
That's doable. I mean, it just opened, so that's doable.
I don't even know who won their game between the two. They played last night. Is it bad? I know the shot.
I watched a little.
I know the shot margin
is
like at 55 shots entering the opening of the bar today. And I don't know who won the actual game.
What's more interesting? Who's going to do more Jello shots?
Frying
or who's
pan hitting is more interesting.
That's true.
That's what I'm getting to.
If you're starting to rank them, Jello shots, school v school,
right?
Frying pan slapping in the face, and then College World Series, probably in that order, right? Because the Jello shot stuff, there are so many just like different things that can happen. You know, who's making an ass of themselves? Is somebody running around naked? Did somebody streak the feet? Like, the jello shots can lead to a lot more. Slapping somebody in the face with a pan is interesting. That one guy dies, then we're on to the next. And then there's college baseball. Which has a bigger ting sound, getting slapped with a frying pan or a college baseball game?
Speaking of the jello shot challenge at the College World Series, an outdoor company by the name of Banded Hunting Gear, straight out of Arkansas.
Right.
They went in and bought 1,000 shots.
They did.
For Arkansas's faithful. It's $4,500. Boom.
Boom. Done.
Yeah. And apparently threw down a big tip, too, which is cool.
So how did that change the results?
I just say they're just going crazy.
What a great promotion.
Yeah. It's 55 is the margin right now. Arkansas over Ole Miss.
So
before they open this morning.
I do like that promotion because it's getting people involved in the College World Series, right? People are talking about an event that, quite honestly, it's college baseball, right? You may stumble across it on ESPN, but it's not something you're dedicated to, right?
Another outdoor store called Real Tree. This one's based in, it's an Ole Miss alum.
Yeah.
He went and bought 900
there you go.
Shots for the Ole Miss people.
Yeah, I like this.
They're just dropping thousands for these shots.
So. And the bar's doing well, right?
Oh, the bar's doing great, yeah.
The love that the bar's getting right now. I heard an interview with the bartender. He was talking about it.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's a cool thing. And then these other companies are getting love off of it based on them buying for their alums to go in there and hammer jello shots before the game. Jeez.
Dayton Moore spoke with some members of the media yesterday ahead of his baseball camp. He's in town hosting his normal baseball camp while the team's playing out, continuing their West Coast road trip. Got a victory last night against the Angels. But Dayton Moore has a little message for the fans. This season, of course, not going to anybody's satisfaction. With the win last night, puts him at 24-42 on the season.
We're going to continue to work extremely hard. We're not asking you to accept anything. We're accountable for what we do, but we're working extremely hard. We believe in our players. I think the focus has never been better. The support we have in ownership is very strong. I think a lot of it, Vahe, more than anything else, is just not make excuses, just put our head down, focus on trying to get better each and every day. There's no need to try to defend anything that we're doing because people are going to form their own opinion about that, and they should form their own opinion. That's the great thing about baseball. We want our fans engaged. It's okay. It's okay to criticize. It's okay to ask questions. They should ask questions, and that's the beauty of baseball, and that's what we want, and that's what we desire. You know, we're just going to be really, really focused on what we do. We've done this in this market before. We've learned a lot in this journey, in this process, and I'm confident that we're making the right decisions today that are affecting our future in a positive way in the next 3 to 4 years. Whether we realize it or not, whether we want to accept it or not, this is a necessary phase of what we have to go through. Tension is high. People are frustrated, but it's how we deal with that frustration, how we manage that tension. That's ultimately going to bring us together. Are we going to blame one another? Are we going to look for solutions? Are we going to be accountable at every level? Or are we going to pass on that responsibility to somebody else? But it's a necessary phase of what we're going through, what we're going to need to ultimately win a championship again. I mean, it's most people that follow baseball and understand baseball like all of you do, and our fans in Kansas City know it so well. They're great baseball fans. They're smart baseball fans. They recognize that there's talent on this field. There's players that have a chance to be perennial all-stars. It's just becoming that consistent producing player. And the only way to achieve that is you have to go through it every single day at the major league level. But there's a lot of talent on the field. There's talent on the horizon, and I feel really good, Vahe, with where we are.
While appropriate that there's screaming children in the background, hey, doesn't shy away from, hey, say what you want about this team. Like, it's not performing. And
no.
We can look and say that there's, I don't know about perennial all-stars, but, I mean, there's some legitimate players. That's the most frustrating part. The legitimacy, they weren't illegitimate players before the season started.
Right, right. That's the thing. That's the frustrating thing because you look at the players and you're like, well,
they got 24 wins with this group that should be winning some games.
So what is it?
I don't know. I wish I had the magic answer.
Right. And that's the problem. Therein lies the problem. When people say to me, what's wrong with the Royals? I say, I don't know. It's just, to me, what's wrong with the Royals? Guys aren't doing their job. Whit Merrifield
Not enough people are doing their jobs.
Whit Merrifield is ranked as one of the worst positional players in baseball right now. Think about that for a minute.
The key to 14 and 15, where obviously things came together, everybody did their job.
Yeah, true.
We talked about that with Lorenzo Cain yesterday. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't consider Lorenzo Cain an all-time Royals great. He's just not going to make that list for me. He's not going to make the all-time Royals great. What I loved about Lorenzo Cain was 14 and 15, man, he elevated his game.
Yes, he did when he needed to.
He elevated his game when they were ready to win. Everybody did their job. That pitching staff wasn't the greatest pitching staff in the world.
No, it was not.
Right?
It was
not. The bullpen was nails, but the starting rotation, mostly a bunch of dudes.
Yeah. But all you had to do was get through five or maybe six.
They did their job. We got to the bullpen. They did their job.
Right.
You had
just get us to 7, 8, 9.
We had debates over who the best player was on that in that lineup. Why? Because guys just did their jobs.
Yeah.
I need more of that. I need everybody pulling on the rope and playing to their capabilities.
It doesn't feel to me, when I look at this team and watch them play, that they're playing as a team. It appears to me as 26 individuals out there right now. And quite honestly, I can't say that I blame them, right? At this point of the season, you're 20 games under 500 and eliminated from the postseason. What are you going to try to do? What's best for you? You're not going to try to do what's best for the team. That's why getting off to a good start is so vitally important, right? You have to find a way to get off to a good start so everybody gets that taste of winning, and then they're willing to do what it takes to help you win games. I don't think there's anybody right now in this lineup that is truly 100% committed to doing to whatever the team needs to help them win games. And I can't say I would be in that boat either, because I got to look out for number one. I got to look out for me. I got to look out for my family. I got to look out for my contract. And if I don't produce, doesn't matter if the team wins or loses, I'm not going to get a job next season. So I got to go out there and I got to produce for me. And I think right now you're seeing 26 individuals play 26 different games out there because they're not necessarily putting the team and the best interest of the team out there because they're so far behind in the standings. I can't say that I blame them for that.
It snowballs and then you can't catch up.
Yeah. Why should you be playing for a team that's 20 games out right now? I got to play for me.
Yeah, I got to save my skin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, you want me to bunt and try to win you a game to get you number 20? Screw that. I'm not going to sacrifice an at-bat. I'm not going to dive for that ground ball.
Okay, Dorn.
No, but it's true. It's true.
I'm going to sacrifice this face for that.
Right. That's why it is so important to find a way early on to win and get in that team mindset. That's what they had in 14 and 15. They didn't care about individual number. Can you give me anybody's individual numbers from 14 and 15?
Well, like HDH, I suppose. Like a point.
What?
6.5 ERA or something. I don't know.
But you don't know.
No, I don't know.
You don't know. You know they won a championship, though, right?
Correct.
How many home runs did Salvi hit last year?
48.
Yeah, what'd they win?
48? No. Right.
How many yards did Mahomes put up in his second full year of playing quarterback in the NFL?
Not 5,000.
How many touchdowns did he throw his second year as a starter?
Not 50.
But what did they do that
they
year?
They won it.
They won the Super Bowl,
won it.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Won it all.
Right.
Yeah.
So stop focusing on individual stats.
There's apparently a demand for Benny. We'll get to that next.
This is Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, your home for car audio since 1967. 610 Sports Radio, your home for Royals baseball in Kansas City.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Get your sexy on. I'm bringing sexy back. Yeah. The motherfucker don't know how to act.
Yeah. So, there's some demand for the Royals come trade deadline, which I think is a good thing. There's never any guarantees what you're going to get back in return. That's fair.
Yeah, no, you don't get much back at trade deadline trades. And you do get back for off-season trades,
right.
Winter meeting trades at Nashville, Grand Ole Opry.
I still wouldn't hang on to some of these guys at the trade deadline. Like
I'm
rolling the dice.
Especially any expiring contract, you're gone.
I'm rolling the dice and seeing if I can get a little something back. I'm
going to
try to.
Witt needs to be traded too.
I'm going to try to beat the odds.
I mean, here's my wish list of people to be traded: Benny and Witt at the trade deadline, and any reliever that you want. So anybody in the bullpen. Plus Benny, plus Witt, and even Michael A. Taylor could be a good one at the deadline.
Yeah, I think so.
He's a really good center fielder,
He's a good player.
Does he get enough? I trade Hunter Dozier, probably get rid of him at the deadline, too. I got a lot of people I trade. The entire bullpen and everybody else.
There's really not anybody that's off limits.
No, other than Witt, other than, you know, where we are with MJ Melendez, other than that, and probably some of your younger pitchers right now, other than that, everybody's available.
Yeah,
man.
I wouldn't deal the start. You know, inconsistent as the starting staff has been. I'm not ready to part with any of those guys yet. I want to see if they're still.
Yeah, that's the other thing. I'm not ready yet. This time next year, if we're still in this malaise, then maybe yes.
Bullpen by
anybody out of the bullpen.
Anybody but Witt and Melendez. Salvi's in that category for me. It's not for you.
No. But not at the deadline. He's an
anybody else. Anybody else, I'd say adios. But apparently there's some heat picking up around one Andrew Benintendi. According to J.P. Morosi, who says that he could be a nice little trade chip.
I think Andrew Benintendi, Lauren, is going to be one of the most highly coveted lefty bats anywhere in the major leagues this summer. And I'm already hearing reports about different teams starting to show some preliminary interest. I'll mention two of them right here. The Milwaukee Brewers and the Toronto Blue Jays. Both have had some needs for lefty power. You just covered earlier on in this hour the great career of Lorenzo Cain and his time in Milwaukee coming to a close. They do need a bat. And you think about how well the Cardinals have played of late, whether that move happens now or closer to August 2nd, I think Benintendi to Milwaukee would be a tremendous fit. And the Blue Jays, they're so right-handed. They're, of course, trying to catch up on the Yankees right now. Benintendi could be a great fit for Toronto. He also might actually be a pretty good fit for the New York Yankees as well. But I'm feeling pretty sure that by the morning of August the 3rd, Lauren, Andrew Benintendi is playing for a different team.
Lauren would not be either one of us. So it's Lauren on MLB Network. And then, yes, the trade deadline a little bit later now, August 3rd.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
Yep.
You know, wait till August 3rd now. What if we wanted to camp by then? I'm glad there's demand. I question what it is.
That's the thing. I wouldn't expect the King's ransom back in return.
I'm still doing it. I'm still doing
it. Oh, absolutely. Not. It's not forbidding me from doing
it. I'll go ahead and see if I can turn Class A left-hander into something. I don't know.
And that's essentially what you're going to get, you know, most likely in a trade deadline trade for a player on an expiring contract for a rental player. I mean, look at what we gave up for Johnny Cueto. Nobody of substance was given up for Johnny Cueto, right? And that's probably what you're going to get back in return. You may get quantity, but are you going to get any quality
Find
back
me a
in
good
return?
Prospect in either one. The Toronto, you know, you put those scouts in motion.
Right.
Have them find a coveted prospect in the Toronto and Milwaukee farm systems and let's go.
The problem is those farm systems aren't that great this year. According to Baseball America, which I consider the Bible of this kind of stuff, Toronto's the 19th best minor league system in the game and Milwaukee's the 25th best minor league system in the game. Now, does that mean you don't make trades with them, if there's a player that you do like and it happens to work out, again, you've got to find a team that is going to be willing to make a trade as well, because a lot of teams just aren't willing to part with their prospects because a lot of the teams are being run by people who care what social media has to say. And as we know, social media and blogospheres, they fall in love with prospects that you've never seen before, right? Never heard of before. They love, oh, you can't trade that guy. So there is some of that. These general managers can't be swayed by what social media thinks of moves that they make. And if you really want to improve your team right now, like if you're the Brewers and you're neck and neck with the Cardinals, which they are in the American or the National League Central right now, why aren't you trading for Andrew Benintendi? He's a 300 hitter, had a home run last night, a little bit of pop in his back, can steal you some bases, and is a damn good left fielder as well. I mean, the guy can play outfield. So if you're Milwaukee, I'd be all in on Andrew Benintendi. I don't know if I'd be all in if I'm the Toronto Blue Jays. The Yankees already have 50 wins. They're running away with that division right now. Now, the good news is for a team like the Blue Jays, there is that extra wild card team that's going to be added in this year. So they may still think they're alive and they have a shot and they may want a deal and, you know, give up some prospects. I'd take Alejandro Kirk back in a second right now if they wanted to part with him for Andrew Benintendi. I don't think they will, but I would do that trade in a second. So you have to start looking at, you know, what can you possibly get in return for Andrew Benintendi? And I'm thinking probably two or three mid-level prospects or low-level prospects is what you're going to get at best for a guy like Andrew Benintendi right now. But you still have to try to move him and find the best deal for your organization.
Latest MLB win totals are out. I would take this one and run with it. Over, under 67.5. You just told me 67.5 wins right now. I would absolutely.
You'd be happy with that.
Absolutely,
right?
Yeah, take it.
I would be too, but I'm taking the under.
I'm under.
Yeah, I think they're going to lose 100. I mean, they're steamrolling towards 100 right now.
I'm surprised it's that high still.
Can you believe that the Royals have 24 wins? The Yankees have more than double the amount of wins as the Royals right now.
Yes, they have 50, as you mentioned.
Yeah. Yeah, 67.5, I thought was very high.
They opened at 75.5, if you remember, to start the season.
Almost a 10-game difference.
You give me 67.5 right now, and I could just lock it in, I'd take it.
If they could win 68 games right now at this point of the season,
yes,
that's a win.
Yeah, I know. Well, it's not, but...
No. Do you think they can win 44 of their final 96 games? Because that's what they're going to have to do.
What would lead me to believe that?
That's what I'm asking. That's how you take the over. Because they need to get to 68.
What would lead me to believe that?
Okay, they need to get to 68. That's 44 more wins than they have right now in 96 games. Do you think they can win 44 of their final 96?
They do have a winning road trip going on right now.
They do?
No. There's nothing that tells me that I would bet on that.
And especially if you're going to start to pare down this roster and get rid of Andrew Benintendi, who's the only legit bat in your lineup right now.
Correct. If I expect you to part with some pieces, I don't expect you to be better.
Right.
For it.
No, you're not going to get better.
In the near term.
Right.
So, no, I would not.
So,
I would
hammer the under right now.
Yeah, yeah.
And I hate to say that, but if you're going to get rid of Benintendi, most likely Whit Merrifield, maybe Michael A. Taylor, any of the bullpen guys, like, you're going to pare down this team. I think the under's a lock right now. And you know what? Under 68 wins does not look good at the end of the year when you're sitting at 62 and 100 or 61 and 101 or whatever the case is going to end up being when this team approaches that 100 loss mark. And then you're going to have to do some real soul searching this offseason of how am I going to sell this to the fans? What am I going to do as an organization? Because I got to be honest, fireworks and dollar dogs, that's all great. But if you don't have a winning product, nobody's going to go. And if you don't make drastic changes this offseason, why are the fans going to go in April? If you roll back with the same players and Cal Eldred, sorry, you're not giving a product that fans want to be part of. They got a lot of work to do, man, and a lot of hard decisions that are going to have to be made.
They have a lot of baseball work and a lot of PR work.
Yeah, because you mentioned it earlier about the lack of interest right now is as low as you've ever seen, and I agree with that.
It's bad. It's bad. The people that can't get them on TV are almost willing to tell you. I mean, they're willing to tell you about it.
Yeah.
Like, I can't get them, and it's fine.
I'm fine with it.
Ooh, really?
The Royals this offseason are going to have to be like politicians running for office. And they're going to have to do caravans. They're going to have to go to the Chamber of Commerce. They're going to have to go to the Kiwanis Club. They're going to have to go to the Elks Club. They're going to have to go to the crochet groups. They're going to have to go to coffee clutches and book groups and, you know, Mom's Day at the pool or whatever the case may be. You're going to have to go out there and press the flesh. You really are. They're going to have to press the flesh this offseason. You can't just say, well, we're the Royals and people are going to show up. You haven't been on TV in 2 years.
Today's being the Kiwanis Club is Chris Bubich.
No, I don't even know that it. I don't even know that it's the players. I think it's the owners. I think it's the general manager. I think it's the people that are high up. I think it's Mike Matheny. If I'm Mike Matheny, I'm here all winter, and I'm going to every damn Kiwanis Club meeting I can find to tell people my story and to tell people it face-to-face. It's one thing hearing it in a press conference or in an interview, but if Mike Matheny's at a Kiwanis Club every Tuesday or an Elks Club or a whatever Chamber of Commerce or whatever, and he's sitting there in the person and having the conversations face-to-face, your message tends to resonate more. You can't think like, oh, we're Major League Baseball. We don't have to do that kind of stuff. The Royals are running for office right now. They need a grassroots effort to win the campaign come 2023. Are they going to put in the time? Are they going to put in the effort? Are they going to be willing to do that? I don't know. But if they bring back the same players and they don't make a change from their pitching coach standpoint, you're not getting votes. You're just not.
Kansas apparently is laying off the Chiefs. We'll discuss next.
You're listening to Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, your home for car audio since 1967. Tune in every Wednesday at 9 to hear from Royals skipper Mike Matheny on your home for Royals baseball, 610 Sports Radio.
Okay, let's see. The governor of Kansas now says, I haven't talked to the Chiefs. Nobody from our office talked to the Chiefs, Bob. Laura Kelly, governor of Kansas, says, potential Chiefs move now that gambling is going to get underway in Kansas. 80% of sports wagering revenue is going to be earmarked for a fund to attract professional sports to Kansas. Laura Kelly, though, says, quote, I have never approached the Chiefs, nor has anybody in my administration. Quite honestly, the amount of money this bill would generate to put into that fund would not come close to being what you would need to be able to attract a major league team, end quote.
Well, define attract, though. I mean, what does that mean, attract a major league team to come here? Are you expecting this fund that has been set up from sports gambling to raise enough money to pay for a stadium free and clear? If that's what you were expecting, then no. But if that's what you were also expecting, then this fund never should have been created to go out there and do something like that, because it's not going to create enough money for any kind of team to be lured to the state of Kansas. You're talking a couple of million bucks per year. It's not like we're talking about hundreds of millions of dollars each year that are going to come into the floodgates.
Seems low to me. I don't know.
It just seems like money that's earmarked for the wrong cause. Now, can it be some seed money to help? Sure, I think it can be that. But as we know with any stadium project, Josh, it's ultimately going to come down to the owners of that franchise and the municipalities to get together to work on the best deal possible for everybody involved. And if they don't have a deal with the municipality, this couple of million dollars a year that may be brought in from sports gambling isn't going to help with anything, and seemingly is wasted money, and it could be earmarked towards the schools or the roads.
Yeah, I'd probably just go ahead and put it towards something else if you're not going to use it for that. But also,
And the Chiefs are really the only team that you can go after.
I don't think that them not using that money would preclude them from moving to Kansas.
No, I don't think so either. I would imagine maybe Laura Kelly hasn't had conversations with the Chiefs, but she did say, a week ago, I can't speak for the municipalities that are on the state line. They may have had conversations with the Chiefs, but in Topeka we have. And that's how usually things start.
I felt like sports gambling would help grease the wheel a little bit, because the Chiefs would have an easier time
setting up a casino in their stadium.
Jumping into something.
Sure.
If it was available on that side of the state line. I think that gives Kansas a little bit of something that Missouri could not offer.
Correct.
But that straight money, it's not like you need sports gambling to attract a team.
Right.
Necessarily, right?
You don't.
The sports gambling revenues to attract a team. You could use other vehicles to attract a team through tax credits and and what have you, that I didn't think was completely incumbent upon that. But I did find it interesting that said, so I haven't talked to anybody. It seems like it's a little plausible deniability right now.
Right.
Like, well, we didn't reach out. I didn't say anything. I can't imagine this thing would make a dent.
And remember, it's in the state of Kansas. And so no matter what sport that you want to attract to the state of Kansas, you have to build a brand new facility, whether it's building a new stadium for the Chiefs, which I think people around here would be fine. That's palatable. The Royals are headed downtown, so baseball's off the table. Then you've got the NBA or NHL. Are you going to build an arena better than the T-Mobile Center on the Kansas side of the state line, 5 minutes from one that you already have in downtown Kansas City? That doesn't seem feasible to do something like that in a market of 2.2 million. Are you going to use that money maybe to bring the NBA or NHL to Wichita? Quite honestly, that would be money better spent to try to attract an NHL or an NBA team to Wichita. They've got a brand new arena down there. Now, I know there's not a lot of people down there, but it wouldn't make sense to use that money for anything else other than an NBA or NHL team to Wichita or the Chiefs coming over to the Kansas side of the state line. And if you're not going to do either of those, this money that is being invested to try to lure a professional team from the sports gambling money, it's wasted money that could be going to other projects, like I said, schools or roads or something.
Could Sporting threaten to move? And could they use that money for that or something? I don't know.
Maybe. I mean, if Sporting did threaten to move, maybe. But it said to recruit a new team, if I'm not mistaken.
Attracting a professional sports team in
right.
Kansas.
It's not keeping a professional sports team.
Well, it would attract me if you could keep me, I guess. I mean,
Sporting Park is 10 years old
now. It feels like futile. It seems like a silly waste of the funds, I guess.
It does. It seems like a big-time waste of the funds. And that's why I think Laura Kelly is like, she's choosing her words. Nobody's talked to me. Okay. But they probably have talked to the head of, Wyandotte County, or the head of Johnson County, or the head of Leavenworth County, wherever they've been thinking about potentially moving the stadium and building the stadium on the Kansas side of the state line. I'm sure the local municipalities have been in conversation and been discussed.
Just because they haven't talked to her doesn't mean they haven't been talking?
Correct.
Yeah.
Right.
It's kind of right out of that one. And if they don't use that one, if they don't use sports wagering money, they'll use some other money.
Sure. Yeah.
There's another account.
Mm-hmm.
Smarter people to deal with that would be able to still complete the task of now. It's not great news for the Chiefs to be.
No, the Chiefs don't want to hear this. No, this is like, wait a second here. This is half our bargaining.
Driving up the bargaining power.
Because now if you're Missouri, you're going, nobody's
even talked to Kansas.
Hey, Clark, you better scratch a check or, it ain't happening.
They didn't even talk to Kansas. I say, why not? And Ndamukong Suh is still available and wants to keep playing after signing 3 one-year deals with the Bucks over the last three seasons. He says that ship has sailed. He was on ESPN yesterday, said it looks like the Bucks are out of the picture. I feel like based on where the Chiefs are at along their defensive line, why not?
Why not? I'm all in on this.
Why not bring
one?
In
I would love it.
Bring in a mercenary.
Yep.
Now, he made $9.2, $8, and $9 million, respectively, over the last three seasons. I'd probably stay shy of that, but you get a little under that and bring in a veteran guy at this point, I guess I wouldn't say no. This feels like a good flyer for me.
I think for me, I'm going to go outside of my comfort zone and actually, give some money to a guy who's over 30, but I'm only doing it for a one-year deal. It's nothing that I'm not marrying this person, right? I'm getting involved as a one-night stand with Ndamukong Suh, okay? And a one-night stand with a guy like Ndamukong Suh, I can stomach that. I'm good with that. There's no commitment really long-term on either side. If it works out, great. If it doesn't, then it doesn't, and you move on. But there's no like, oh, my God, this is going to cost us money down the line in the next couple of years. Oh, my God, it's going to be inflated. And if there's nobody bidding against you, nobody else wants him for his services, you could probably get him on a song right now. So I would absolutely be considering Ndamukong Suh because, as you mentioned earlier, what else do you have really going on the defensive line right now? You still need a lot of help there, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, I still think that you could, and this is where you're at. You're in street free agent territory. What's available at this point in time?
Not much.
Guy with a pretty good track record, certainly willing to play for a one-year deal.
Certainly willing to be a mercenary.
Right?
Yeah,
did it with the Rams. Did it with the Bucks.
Mm-hmm.
Feels right.
Yeah, I'm good with that. I'm absolutely good.
Call
with
him
that.
Up. and see what he's looking for a 1 year.
You
add
come
to
in
that
for 6 months,
line.
Fine. Come
play,
on in for 6 months.
Play alongside Chris Jones.
Let's go. And I think your defensive line gets better just from having that presence out there. They get nastier, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm. The Warriors had their victory parade yesterday.
Did you go?
I did not go. It looked like to me they got a little cocky, but I kind of liked the cockiness for a little while.
I mean, they've won 4 of the last 8 championships.
But yesterday it felt like a nobody picked this.
Oh, yeah. It was a screw you parade. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Draymond Green apparently stole the show.
I told y'all don't let us win a championship. And clearly nobody could stop it. I warned y'all. So I'm just going to continue to destroy people on Twitter as I have been.
Well. Everybody's got goals, I guess.
I guess, man. Like, why are NBA players so thin-skinned? Seriously, why are NBA players so thin-skinned, Josh?
I don't know.
Of all the professional athletes, if you're ranking them by the thinnest skin, NBA players are number one. And it's
Do they have more time to listen to stuff? I don't know. I kind of wonder.
This morning, one of the big stories is, like, Kevin Durant is fighting again with Charles Barkley. Which, don't pick a fight with Charles Barkley. He's going to roll over everybody, man. That guy doesn't care, right? Charles Barkley's going to win that battle.
Clearly not.
Kyrie Irving is a disaster. LeBron, oh my goodness, LeBron, he freaks out over everything that people are saying. As we mentioned, Durant with his burner accounts and all that kind of stuff. And now you've got a victory parade, and all you're talking about is ripping people on Twitter. So why, for guys who are so accomplished at what they do they have such thin skin? Because NBA players are number one.
By far.
It's not even close. Baseball players are a distant second. NFL players are probably third.
Very passive-aggressive about it.
Baseball players?
Yeah.
Or football players?
Baseball players.
Oh, God, yeah. Baseball's passive-aggressive about everything. Yeah.
And the NBA guys at least tell you they're mad.
They're mad. No, that is. But why are you getting mad? You're making millions and millions of dollars and are very successful, like the best that's ever lived. Like if you took Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, and LeBron James, that's 3 of the best basketball players that have ever lived in the history of the world. And yet they're still worried about what Charles Barkley is saying or what, you know, some fan is saying. Who cares? Why do you care about that? And then the NHL players, they come in at number 4 because they don't care at all. If you say something they don't like, they'll just punch you in the nose and move on. They don't care, right? They don't get caught up in that kind of stuff. I just don't understand why NBA players are so thin-skinned and they let this stuff bother them, because the more that they show that it bothers, people aren't going to let up. They're going to continue to go after them and continue to troll them on Twitter and social media. So why acknowledge it? Why acknowledge anything that's being said at this point in time?
When a guy's banging you, You spin off of him.
Or
if somebody gave me $200 million, I'd kill a relative.
Basically, it just needed to be said.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. Tyreek and Draymond.
Yeah.
Draymond Green, the Draymond. I kind of avoiding him because he doesn't think he needs the media anymore. So he wants to be the media.
Draymond, yeah. Let him.
Yeah, so I'm kind of like, okay, fine. Let's see how you do. Let's go destroy people on Twitter as a goal. I guess you got the championship and go destroy people on Twitter now. I don't want to be the guinea pig for this one, but Bally's is going to launch their app on Thursday.
There's no game on Thursday.
They sent out a release.
Is there a game on Thursday?
They sent out a tweet that it will be available beginning. Wasn't Thursday the
23rd? It is. But I don't believe the Royals play on Thursday.
No, but you can sign up, I guess, for then, I guess.
First game, nothing.
First day of the app.
There's no game on.
It is an off team. Okay, so that aside.
So is this a try it before you buy it with nothing on?
Join us on June 23rd for the first Royals game on the new app.
You won't even be pissed it's not there because it ain't there.
Guarantee you they don't lose.
So it's going to launch this week, $20, which is less than the Nesson price,
for the Boston one.
No, $20 a month.
But for the Nesson one, you get at least 2 teams and tickets to a game.
There is that. They're going to do apparently a soft launch. Boy, I don't want to be the guinea pig. Odds this thing's going to get right. But interesting part was an article that was written by Sports Business Journal.
Look, hang on real second here. I understand, like, you got to get it out once the technology's there and you've been behind with this kind of stuff. But sometimes you got to like read the room. Now is not the best time to gauge whether or not this could be a successful app for Bally's.
You know, technology and stuff.
Correct.
I mean, the team's 20 under 500,
I
right?
I understand.
So if Bally's, well, nobody's subscribing. I would not use this year as a judge for anything.
I don't think they're looking about subscriptions. They probably just want to see if it works, I would guess, right? Wouldn't this be about testing out the technology, not whether people are consuming it necessarily or not?
Yeah.
But I did find this interesting. Sinclair is the parent company of Bally. Their CEO, Chris Ripley, was talking about gambling.
And now remember, they rebranded their networks because of gambling.
Right. Yeah, it's called Bally Sports.
Right, which is a casino company.
Correct. Okay. He says 60% of 18 to 34-year-olds either bet on sports or are interested in doing so.
Okay, that's a good percentage, right? It's well more than half. Sure.
That's a pretty good group. 60% of 18 to 34-year-olds want to bet?
That's good. That's right in your wheelhouse. You want the 18 to 34-year-olds.
So that's what we're trying to attract.
Yeah.
But then he goes on to say way less than 60% actually watch sports in that cohort. One of the problems with that cohort is that those that are interested in sports aren't actually watching games. They're watching highlights afterwards. The conundrum is, how do you get that to translate interest, interactivity, and sports betting into actually game watching?
That's a great question, and that's a scary question for Major League Baseball especially.
Scary question for a guy running a TV outfit for a sport, too, that's rebranded their names based on gambling.
Right.
And he's citing a study that says, that doesn't even correlate. People aren't watching.
So Bally's and Sinclair and other regional networks are going to go, wait a second here. We invest all this money. The younger generation isn't watching now. They're not going to watch then. They are still gambling on the games, but they're not watching them. Why are we paying all this money every year to carry these games? And I fear that all these regionals are just going to back out, and then all of a sudden, there's going to be no TV money because they're realizing they got in it for the gambling. But if the folks that are gambling and want the gambling stuff aren't watching the games, then what's the need to have the...
Like, we could still do gambling. It's just we don't have to be part of the games.
We don't have to watch the game to gamble at all.
We don't have to be part of the games. We'll get into the gambling money. We don't have to be part of the games.
Right. Just like we heard from the text line earlier, I don't watch the Powerball drawing ever.
Which is funny.
Which is really good. It's true. You buy a Powerball ticket, how many times you stay up to watch the late lotto numbers?
I was shocked to hear that kind of stat from this type of person.
Yeah.
This would be one that would counteract... Because I would think all the numbers would point to people that gamble would watch more games.
Because if I'm a baseball team right now,
they had invested interest in watching the games. Right. I would think from a television executive, they would tell you that.
Yeah.
He didn't tell you that. He said, you know, we got to figure it out because people want to gamble, but they ain't watching.
Right. They'll gamble, which is great, but they're not paying attention to the game. They're doing other things. That's why I asked you earlier, other than an NFL game, what is the last game that you have watched from start to finish? For me, it's the championship game
A college basketball game. My team, basketball.
Your team. KU national championship game is the last game that I've watched start to finish the entire game of.
That's tough.
That was April, 2nd. Right? So I understand what he's saying. I get it. I totally get it. And if I'm a team that's relying on a lot of money coming from these regional sports networks and they're saying this, I'm getting a little nervous that they're going to back out. I'm going to have to start my own TV network.
Yep. Well, I almost wish MLB did. Well, they do, but kind of.
Yeah.
I think that's how they should offer it. I would rather it was a centralized offer from Major League Baseball.
Kind of like MLS is doing with Apple. Watch that deal.
Something like that.
That may be coming down the pike with baseball.
Something like that. So you can get the app on Thursday for no game.
$20 a month.
$20 a month. I am not going to be their demo person for that.
No.
Just me. Not $20 a month. No. And
I think what they ought to do is give it to you free for the rest of the year if you sign up for all of next season, too. Like, pay now for next year and get the rest of this year for free.
Something like that would work. Some kind of incentive. They're just saying you asked for it, here it is.
Right. Now, if they were
take it or leave
their record was reversed 42-24 and they were winning games, people would be in, but I think it's going
to
be,
that point, I would think.
Yeah.
If you missed any of the show today, you can check it out anytime, 610sports.com or the Odyssey app, AUDACY. Download it for free. That'll do it for us. Cody and Golder next here on 610 Sports Radio.
Talk to you later. The home for Legend Bob.
Legend Bob, he's an expert on rubbing balls.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound. Your home for car audio since 1967 on 610 Sports Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.